right. Missed our instruments tonight, but did a good job of leading that without that. And good. We'll be in Psalm 25. I talked a little bit about waiting on God about 2 months ago. I'm going to talk a little more about it. And I want to talk about tonight, wait or arise and go. Wait or arise and go. Psalm 25. By the way, we have a teacher's meeting after the service. I didn't mention that, but we do. So about 5 minutes afterward, we'll go back and meet in the children's church classroom back there. Psalm 25. These are kind of well-known verses because we sing them in a song. Verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed, which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Verse 19. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let not me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. All right, let's go ahead and talk about waiting or arise and go. Father, thank you for the word of God. We are blessed to have the word. We thank you for everybody here tonight. Thank you for the chance to listen to what you say. Thank you for these beautiful verses. And I pray that we would grasp some truth here and know something about ourselves and see how we can do this Christian life thing better, Father, and know what we should do in our own lives, Lord. Please speak to us and help us and do a mighty work, Lord, in this service tonight. Please, Lord, we need your help, and we pray for the Spirit to move powerfully, and may this truth be helpful to your people in a real and powerful and a New Testament way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We know the song, Unto Thee, O Lord. Let's just sing that first verse, Unto Thee, O Lord. You repeat after me. Do I lift up my soul? Ready? Unto Thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul? Unto Thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul? O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And then you say, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Talk about waiting on God. And it's very common in the Bible to talk about waiting on God. But I want us to notice in these verses that it says, don't let my enemies prevail. I'm waiting on you, O God, but in this, I'm waiting on you so that my enemies won't prevail against me. Verse 19, consider mine enemies, for they are many. And they hate me with a cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. And let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me, it said earlier in the chapter. Let me take it to Psalm 27 and verse 12. Says, deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait in the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. He says, deliver me from mine enemies. They're cruel, and there's many. And he says, don't let your heart be weak, and wait on the Lord, and he will give you strength in your heart. In other words, your heart's fainting because of you have many enemies, many troubles, many battles. Sometimes it's actually people, and sometimes it's devils and demons and attacks. But there's those scary times when you need to wait on God to give you the strength to handle what's coming on you. Just a few points I have here. Number one, waiting on the Lord is important and often commanded. Waiting on the Lord is important and often commanded. And let's go to Psalm 37 and just read some of the verses about waiting on the Lord. Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 34, wait in the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. So just wait on the Lord. Psalm 130. Wait on the Lord. Wait patiently for him. He can take care of the enemies. He can take care of your problems. But you need to wait on the Lord. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait in the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth in the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. He says, look, I'm waiting on God. It's a great example, and it's all throughout the Bible. And then one more in Lamentations, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. And Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25 and 26. Lamentations 3, 25 and 26. Talking about just waiting on God. It's obviously here in the Bible a lot. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So just wait in the Lord. We see in 1 Thessalonians, I'll read you this verse, waiting for Jesus to come back. And thinking, man, this world needs fixed. Let's wait for Jesus to come back and fix this messed up world. And we want to see that. It says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which was delivered, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Waiting on Jesus to come back and fix the messed up world, because we don't know if the world's ever going to get fixed and have revival and go back. So we're just waiting for Jesus to come and fix this world. There's just times in life where you are waiting on God. You've done what you can do. You don't know what to do. You need an answer, and you just say, Lord, I'm looking to you. I'm waiting on you. That is a Bible concept. It's a Bible thing to do. And that's you. In your life, there will be times when you need to be waiting on God, and you will be waiting on God if you're wise. Also, though, and there's 1,000 illustrations for this, in our lives, when we can do this, there's times when we don't have answers. There's times when we are without strength, and we're all, there's many times. And sometimes you think you need something, and then God does not seem to be opening the door, and then you say, okay, God, I think I need this, but I'm just going to wait till you open the door, because you seem to close the door. We had a few years back where, I guess a couple years ago, where we thought we needed an assistant pastor, and it seemed like it'd be a big help to the church, and so we looked and talked to some, and it just seemed like every door was closed. It just wasn't happening. And we saw the need. We saw things that needed to happen, and things that would help in the church, and things that would step up to have a staff member, to have an assistant pastor, and it just, God closed all the doors. So I just kind of waited and said, okay, Lord, it's obvious that you shut the doors in this, so what's supposed to happen now? And, you know, as we waited, instead of saying, no, we just got to have this, as we waited, you know, just laymen started stepping up. Now, we don't have any other staff. There's nobody else who's a leader in the church that is an actual position of authority. We have people who have stepped up and taken responsibilities and done things like that. You know, God wanted it to happen that way. We just had to wait until he showed us the next step. What we can do wrongfully is say, no, 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 this has to happen. And I know it seems like it's not happening, but I'll just make something happen. You can get yourself in real trouble that way. So waiting on the Lord is important, and sometimes it's commanded by God, and we need to be ready for that. But secondly, we're often commanded not to wait, but to arise and go. Arise and go. And so let's go back to Deuteronomy. I'm just going to show you Bible characters who weren't supposed to wait at a certain time. And look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. We'll start off with Moses and just show you some illustrations in the Bible where God just told somebody, okay, don't wait anymore. Now it's time to arise and go. At this point, they've been sitting still for a good amount of time and waiting for God to give the law and waiting for God to finish what he was doing. But now God said, it's time you go. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 10 and 11. And I have stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord hearkened unto me at that last time also, and the Lord would destroy thee. And the Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before thy people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And God says in another spot, ye have dwelt this mountain long enough. You've been here long enough. Arise and go. It's time to go toward the promised land. You've waited for me. I told you to stop here. Now you've got the commandments. Now you've got the law. And go. Now it's time. What you're waiting for has been done. And it's time. Joshua, if you go forward to the book of Joshua, we see that Joshua was not told it's time to wait. Moses had died. They buried Moses. Then God comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, arise and go. And it's time to go. Joshua chapter 1. And verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. That's a command. Just get up and go. It's time to go. You've been sitting, and now it's time to rise and lead. And God said, be courageous and go. And then Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1, the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, arise, and go up to the Ai. See, I have given thy hand the king of Ai, and this people, and the city, and its land. He says, all right, you were defeated by Ai before, but now arise and go. Now I've given you the victory, so it's time to go and do this thing. We see David told it's time to go in 1 Samuel, in chapter 23, and verse 4. It said, it's 1 Samuel 23 and verse 4. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So you see, God's got a victory for him. He's got to go get it. Joshua had a victory for him. It was time to arise and go. But you're not going to see the victory until you arise and go to it. I've given you them for a victory, but you need to go there. You need to rise and go to where I had the victory. It's not time to wait anymore. It's not time to stay anymore. It's not time to sit anymore. You've compassed this mountain long enough, he said. Now go get the victory. Jonah. you don't have to turn there, but let me just read it. You have a book of Jonah. You can turn there if you like. But Jonah says this, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Jonah 1:2. For their wickedness has come before me. Jonah was commanded, and Jonah didn't go. And God said, hey, I told you to go. And he sent a storm and a whale and brought him back. After he spit up on dry land, it says in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. And of course, he had one of the greatest revivals ever recorded. Why? Because it was time to arise and go. And the first time he didn't, but the second time he did. So we can see, here's these two different things. There is a time to sit there and wait for the salvation of the Lord, and wait for God to lead you, and wait for God to give you what you need, and wait for God's answers. There's also, on the other side, a time when God says, don't sit and wait, arise and go. And so with those two things in mind, the title of the message is, Await or Rise and Go. Just a few thoughts on this, and this is where I want to focus the thing is on these thoughts, because many times people don't know, wait, am I supposed to be doing something, or am I supposed to be waiting on God? Is it time to do something right now, or is it time to wait? Should I do this, or shouldn't I do this? I know I need to do this at some point. Is now the right time? And I can't answer all those questions with every single circumstance in your life, but what I want to do is give you some principles that I think that help us not make the mistakes in whether we arise and go or whether we wait. And so how do we know when we're to wait or whether we're to arise and go? Number one, this is pretty simple. You ready? When the Lord tells us to go, go. Okay, it's kind of simple. Jonah, you don't need to pray about it. You don't need to wait. God told you, and you needed to go. And you needed to go. Listen, this is one of the things that was hardest for me. I was called to preach when I was 17. When I was 16, by the time I was 17, I knew I was going to pastor in Seattle. Okay, well, at 17, I wasn't quite ready to pastor. I pretty much thought I knew everything, but I needed to get a little older before I realized I didn't know everything. And so I was talking to a veteran, retired pastor, missionary today, and I said, you know, it's one of these days I'm going to figure all this thing out, all these things out. And he laughed and laughed, and he says, well, when you do, go ahead and give me a call. Good luck with that. And that's what he told me, and we laughed, and he's probably 72, 73. And I thought, man, but I was having fun. I was serving the Lord. I was in God's will, but God said, not time yet. Obviously, you need some training. You need this and that. And so I worked in the church until I was 19 and was preaching twice a week and learning a lot about ministry and doing a lot of important things and having a great time serving the Lord and being a leader in the church. And God said, time to go to Bible college. And I went out to Bible college at 19. And I crammed my 4 years of Bible college into 7 years. And so I was there and I was got married and had three babies and paid my way and left without any debt and everything, but it took me a little bit of time to get through. But during that time, I loved preaching. I've been preaching twice a week. I already knew where I was supposed to go. I was supposed to go to Seattle and pastor. And I was ready to go at any time. I loved preaching. You know what God did? God made me a bus driver. Well, when you're driving a bus down the, we call it the Dan Ryan Expressway in Chicago, it's a scary highway, let's just say. And driving on the Dan Ryan, I couldn't preach. It used to drive me crazy. I'd bring people on the bus and I'd sign them up and I'd have my kids there and I loved them and invested my life. I was pastoring them. I loved them. I had my heart in them. And then somebody else on the bus ride is 35 minutes each direction if traffic was clear. Somebody else got to preach to my people every week. Do you know I went about a 6 year span where I preached? 6 years, I probably preached 10 times in 6 years. The thing that drove me crazy is I always believe in being prepared, even if you be faithful in the least. Every Sunday that I was driving that bus, every Sunday I had a message prepared. You know what used to drive me crazy? The guys were going to preach. They'd get up and preach in the bus and preach away, and we'd preach to them on the way to church, on the way back from church, on the way back church from night bus. They got all kinds of sermons. And praise the Lord, I thought Sunday school for a little while there in a class, third and fourth graders. But the guys that come up in the wheel well, they'd open up their Bible, and they'd start flipping through it. They'd look at me and say, hey, where's that verse where it says that wait in the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart? I'd say, oh, I think you're talking about Psalm 27. Okay, thanks. And he gets up there and says, today I'm preaching on wait in the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Psalm 27. They didn't even study one lick the entire week. They studying was long enough to ask me, where's that verse? And I had a sermon prepared. I prepared during the week as busy as I was. And every week after week after week, I didn't get to preach. Time to wait. Boy, I was rip-roaring to go. I wanted to go. I worked in a dock, and we had all these doors. We were a hub, and we had the Seattle door where all the trailer going to Seattle was. And I don't know why, I just would pick up the box and look at that city and think, I wonder where Puyallup is and all these things. And Shnuhamushush. And I would look at these boxes, and I would think about it and just pray for when I got there. But God said, you can't go. My pastor called me and said, come on back. We'll hire you on staff. And I said, God's not letting me. I've been there 4 years, 5 years. Now I was married. I said, listen, Jesus didn't have a Bible college degree. I tried to talk myself into it. And God didn't say. He told me to go to Bible college and never got any more orders. So that meant stay where God sent me. So I stayed. Finally, I graduated. 5 days after I graduated, it was time to go. I was out of town. And me, my wife, my three kids, and my car top carrier, the kids weren't in the car top carrier, but they barely fit in the car, off we were driving from Indiana to starting in Portland, and then we'd move up here. And you know, it was time. You know, there was a time to go and a time to wait. I'd have messed everything up if I'd have come at the wrong time. I can mess things up when I come at the right time, okay? But if I come at the wrong time, you had to wait, and then you had to go. If you knew how hard it was for me not to preach all those years and just drive. Brutal for me. I love to teach the Word of God. It's what my calling is. It's what my gift is. God said, wait. God said, wait. Then he said, go. What if I'd have said, you know, that's why God made me go to college in Hammond, because there's no way I'd want to stay. And when he said, go, I'm out of there. Oh, my soul. Send me to Africa, please, Lord, or anywhere, but Siberia, but not Hammond. And there's a time to stay and a time to go. When the Lord tells you to go, you got to go. Jonah learned that. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8 says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Amen. When you hear God's voice, it's time to get up and go. It's not time to say, well, maybe God said to go, but let me think about this. Listen, when God says go, you start figuring, how does God want me to pack my bags? Where does he want me to go? And you begin going when he says go. You do not wait and delay. It's a weight of disobeying. When you're waiting when God says go, when you hear his voice, it's your way of disobeying and feeling like you're not disobeying. When God tells you to witness that person, now is the time, as the Bible says. When God tells you to go to church, when God tells you to talk to that person, when God tells you to read your Bible, when God tells you to get on your knees and pray, whenever God says go, whenever God says something, it's not time to wait. There is a time to wait on God. That's usually when God's silent. That's when you need God. But time to go. When God says do something, you do it. Okay, you just obey. God will work out all the details. You just got to obey. Next. When the Lord tells to go, go. Secondly, we need to know ourselves to see if we are just doing our nature of waiting or going. What do I mean by that? We need to know ourselves. See, some of you are by nature waiters. And some of you are by nature goers. And usually what you do is you justify doing what you're most comfortable with instead of waiting for God's voice. Now, there are times, sometimes you're a goer when you're 18, 19, 20, and sometimes you're a waiter when you're 45 and 50. Just depends on points of life and who you are. But, you know, once you know your nature, I know what I'm doing here. You know what I'm talking about? I know what I'm doing here. I'm trying to justify that I really don't want to go deal with anything right now. I don't want, you know what? Let me think about it. I know, Lord, I should probably do this. Okay, so the first person is the person who is a waiter. Okay, I'll do it. You know, I just got to think about it a little bit more. I'm going to do it. Yeah, I've just got a lot going on in my life. You will always have a lot going on in your life. Okay, you realize you're going to start saying, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, why are you waiting? A lot of people are unemployed and broke and saying, I'm just waiting on God to give me a job. No, that's time to go. Your full-time job, 40 hours a week, is to get a job. That's not time to wait. Oh, God, give me a job. I've never seen that work. Okay? Oh, God, give me a job while I'm applying for jobs. Okay? In other words, it's a time to wait and a time to go. Okay? And there's many, many instances in life where the waiter just kind of, and what the waiter usually does is he usually misses deadlines, gets very frustrated because deadlines do not bend. And waiters, they make the mistake a lot of times where life passes them by and then the opportunity is gone. Because there was times to wait on God and they don't struggle waiting on God. They're very good at it. And they know to wait on God. But they also wait too long for too many things. And they stay, and they will stay in mediocrity and stay in failing situations and stay in bad situations and not change their life because waiters are very patient and just kind of say, you know, I need to someday. And they could have had so much a better life and they've kept their family in mediocrity and they've never moved forward. And literally decades will pass with them in the same situation when they're 40 as they were when they were 30. Because they are waiters. And there is a time to go. There's time to say, I got to change something. I've been here long enough. I know I need to do this. Quit being a person who says, I know I need to do this, but. Okay? Those are never words that should go together. I know I need to do this, and now, are what you should be saying. Never say, I know I need to do this, but. If you know you need to do it, it's time to go. The other side, we got the person who is the arise and go, and they're always arise and go and can never wait. They got 3 million ideas. They're very aggressive. They got a lot of things to do. They got something needs done. Somebody's got to do this. Somebody's got to do this. And then what happens, their fault is, that, now this isn't a big problem with Americans. I find the testosterone side of humanity is disappearing very quickly in America. Immigrants still have this. We got to do something. We got to get done. But there's still people who have this where they just say, I got to do it. I got to do something. I got to do something. And many times there's, God has closed the door. I got to, like me saying, I got to get an assistant pastor. I got to get one. I got to get one. I got to get one. And then forcing them and God is not opening the door. I got to go on this mission trip. I got to go start this ministry. I've got to do this. And a pastor who does that ends up with a bunch of ministries with no workers that do them. And he ends up with a family who hates him because his family has to do everything. It is that I've got to do it. I've got to do something. And they do not learn to wait on God. They do not understand closed doors. They go crazy just waiting. And they usually end up starting a million things and finishing none of them. Why? Because they do not understand. God says to do this, but he hasn't said to do it yet. Don't go in the promised land yet. Israel tried to do that before God was with them. And they got destroyed. They got beat up. There is a time when you say, you know, it's not time to go. I got to do well what I'm doing now. And then I know my future is this, but I do not know when. So right now, I'm going to do what God's given me to do and wait on God until the door opens, until it's clear what I'm supposed to do. And you have that same thing. And the reason I point those two different types of people are is because usually you'll talk yourself into, well, at least I'm not like so-and-so. At least I've made a mistake. The person who waits all the time and says, at least I didn't make a mistake. Yes, you did. You made a mistake of complacency and nothing. Okay? You made the mistake of, it's like you got 10 bullets. One person says, well, I didn't waste any of my 10 bullets. Well, you got killed because you didn't shoot any enemies. The other person said, boom, 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 boom. Oh, I missed. Ah! And neither one is good. Neither one is good. You wait until it's the right time and you go. Okay? And you do that. Next, underneath this, I said, first, when the Lord tells to go, go. And secondly, we need to know ourselves to see if we are just doing what our nature is of waiting or going. And lastly, and this is what's important. This is what I think just gives you the principle so you know what to do in every situation, is waiting is usually for when we have done what all we can. Waiting is usually for when we've done all we can. The most famous verse on waiting in the Bible is Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now think about the words you're saying there. They're renewing their strength. Why? Their strength is gone. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In other words, they're waiting on God because they've done all they can do and their strength is gone. And so they are going to wait on God to give them strength. Remember all those verses about waiting on God because their enemies are too strong for them? In other words, they've got something bigger than them. And now they are waiting on God to give them the strength or to defeat their enemies or to get their enemies away from them or hurt their enemies or give them great strength because they're just waiting on God because they've done all they can do and they can't do anymore, so they're just going to have to wait on God. That's usually when it's wait time. You've applied at all the places you can apply at, and now you're just waiting for God to give you a job. And then you're going to start again next week. You've tried to reconcile your relationship with this person, and they will not do it. Well, now you're waiting on God to change your heart. There's nothing else you can do. You're just waiting. You've witnessed that person. You love that person. You want them to get saved. You've given them the gospel. And you know what? They don't want to hear it anymore. Then you wait on God. There's nothing else you can do. You say, Lord, I'm praying to you for their soul to be saved. I can't do anything else to win them to you, Lord. I'm waiting on you. But the impulsive verse is, I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to do something. And they ruin the relationship and cause more problems. Because that person needs you to just love them and be kind. You've already given them the gospel. You've already tried. Now you're waiting on God to work in their heart and soften their heart and change their heart. A church, God builds a church. You wait on God. And God will build a church in his time. When he wants to do a great work, he can do it. He can have Pentecost anytime he wants to. And so you need to wait on God to do the great work, but also you need to be going. He tells you to go ye therefore and teach all nations. But sometimes you go and you go and you go and you say, Lord, I've gone and I've had no results. I'm witnessing to people and nobody's getting saved. No lives are getting changed. I'm waiting on you, God. I can't do anything else. Waiting on God is usually for when we have done all we can. We see the enemies could prevail against them. And so they're waiting for God to help them. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Okay? Don't go get revenge. Well, nothing's happened, and they're getting away with it. Wait on God. It's his job. Jeremiah in chapter 14. There's just a time. Jeremiah chapter 14. And verse 22, just a time when you're just waiting on the Lord to take care of things, waiting on God to bring the blessings for the good things you've done. You're just waiting. Jeremiah 14, verse 22. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are not thou he, O Lord, our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. As you know what, God, we can't, we're in famine and drought, and we cannot make the rain. There's nobody who can. So we're just waiting on you. We need the rain. You know, I think that one of the things that's happened to our society that's taught us not to wait on God is the government bailing people out and government assistance. You know, you just, if nothing else, the government will take care of me. How about waiting on God? How about praying? Asking God to provide your needs. Asking God for a miracle. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So do I wait or do I rise and go? You have to do both those in your life. The same situation many times has a wait and an arise and go. You do all you can. Don't sit around and do nothing. If man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat, the Bible says. You're not just sitting around doing nothing expecting God to do everything for you. It's like a man sitting there saying, I just want to get married. Well, you have to talk to a girl. I'm just waiting for her to just come down and propose to me. Well, good luck. But in other words, in life, you have to go get things. But sometimes you can try and you say, but it's not happening. God says, you know, God says one of three things when you're trying. He says, go, which is yes. He says no, or he says grow, which means wait. No, go, or grow. And I needed to grow before I started the church. But then when it was time to go. And you got to have that. So this afternoon I was talking to Brother Warner. He's missionary in Zambia. And we're trying to go to Zambia. And it's just, I have more problems with getting there. And you know, I'm taking a lot of missions trips and kind of used to doing this stuff. And he's a veteran missionary. And so we're talking, and he's got this wife who has unknown health problems they cannot figure out. And we are talking a lot about her health and what he's doing. And I said, well, here's the problem. The other guy's going to visit, Brother Hanada, who he's friends with. I said, he's not going to be in Zambia then. And I said, I'm not sure if you're going to be there. And so we talked back and forth. And he says, you know, I've got to go back at a certain time to get my son's paperwork done, and I have to get it done in Zambia. And he says, you know, I have to go back there next year anyway. So if you want to go to Zambia, I will work out my trip so you can get back there when I'm there. And I know some other pastors, and you can also hook you up with Brother Hanada's assistant, and we can work all this stuff out, and we can get this all going. And I said, what do you think you're going back? Is I got a ticket for late January? But he says, we just got to figure this thing out. And I said, you know, I said, I'm hitting a wall in this. And I said, I can't, and your information helps me a lot. And I said, I know you got to take care of your wife. I understand that. And don't change your plans for me. I said, it might not be God's will to go to Zambia. But I said, I'm going to set a time limit here because we got to buy tickets, and I've got two of the missions trips, and I got to plan the rest of my calendar around those mission trips because they take a lot of time and energy and effort for the church and money and everything else. And I said, by the second week of January, I said, we'll talk again. And I said, we're just waiting on God. And if it opens, and if you're open, and if I'm open, and it coincides, we'll know it's on God. Right now, I think both of us are just waiting on God. And he says, yep, we're just waiting. We don't know. Now, we can have that conversation because both of us have been around the block in these things and in the spiritual realm. Or I could hammer away. I could go to Zambia if I want to. I find a way. I mean, you can do whatever. And he could find a way to get back there. I'm sure he could. But it might not be what's best for his family. It might not be what's best for God's will. It might not be God's will. See, it's one God coordinating all this. God has not made it clear yet. Listen, if God has not made it clear yet, and you don't have to make a decision, do not make a decision. The Lord knows how to say go. And he knows how to say, I'm not clear this out yet. I'm not shown you yet. And so we're both seeking God's will. Both of us are seeming to just kind of say, this is not working, this is not working, this is not working. And God may say, no, Zambia. He might say, Zambia, but I've got to do some other works there, and I've got to line this thing up, and this person shouldn't be there, and you should be with this person, and maybe you need to change your plans. And we're talking about going down to Zimbabwe and doing a little pastor's conference there on the northern border and a lot of things. But I don't know. I threw other things across him. I said, listen, I get to Kenya for $500 cheaper, and then maybe fly to Zimbabwe. And we're seeking God's will. Now, what's God's will? I don't know yet. Are you worried? Uh-uh. How many times in my life I didn't know what God wanted me to do, but am I trying? Am I trying to figure it out? Am I pushing forward? Am I sitting there saying, God, just make on the internet that the country I'm supposed to go to just pop on my screen? No. I'm seeking, I'm planning, I'm praying, I'm looking, I'm talking to missionaries, I'm trying to figure this thing out. And all of a sudden, all this effort will just be going boom, 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 not working, not working, not working. And it'll be a hot knife through butter. And the world, it'll just open right up. And it'll be clear as day. That's the way God works. But and then when he says go, guess what? I'll go click, 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 and buy a ticket. I won't wait. I won't say, now Lord, I'm going to wait to see if you really, listen. God says he'll open the doors. And so in your life, you do all you can. You work as hard as you can. You plan. You try to figure out a plan. And God may shut doors, and then he may be guiding you by shutting doors. And you say, God, I need to try. I need to put forth my effort. And then you say, I can't do anymore, Lord. I've exhausted my resources, or I do not know what to do, or it's not clear. And you say, God, I'm going to wait on you to show me. That's the difference. You wait when you need to wait. You go when God says go, and then you try and try and try and see if God's opened a door, and keep knocking on doors and find out which one God's got for you, and open up. And do not move until God says go. God's way is clarity. God is not the author of confusion. God leads through peace. The devil leads through confusion. Okay? And so you know, wait or arise and go. Just depends on the circumstance, but there's the principles. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word, and I pray you'd help us to be people who have wisdom, and that we we know when to wait, and we know when to go. And we will arise and go when it's time. When it's time to go in the promised land, we get up and march into Jericho. And when it's time to wait, we are still and know that you are God. And we renew our strength. Please show us what to do, Father, and help us to be people who are ambitious enough to arise and go, and to go and shake doorknobs and rattle doors and see which ones are open. But at the same time, when it's time to sit and wait, when we can't do anything else and we don't have direction, just be patient. And as you said, it's good to sit and wait patiently for the Lord. And I pray we'd do that and trust you enough to wait and trust you enough to go when it's time. We thank you for your wisdom and your word that shows us these things in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just real briefly.